Well, let's open our Bibles to James chapter 3. Chapter 3, he begins to speak about why, you know, not many should become teachers. He gives a reason for that, a long reason for that. And he says here, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers." And I think that a lot of, in our flesh, you know, we want to teach. We feel like we have something to share. That was Job's friends. Remember that it's bursting in my heart. He says, I can't hold it back. I have something to say to you, Job. And then when you read it, it's like, he should have kept it in. You know, it was horrible. It was a horrible thing to say to a man who had suffered so much. And it kind of have this idea a lot of times that we you know, maybe because we know so much, we need to share it and get it out. And boy, I never wanted to be a teacher, and God knows that, but having been called, I do it freely and willingly. I just know that what he says here, don't let many of you become teachers, knowing that we will have a stricter judgment. And the word stricter is greater judgment. And the judgment of the teacher, you know, the Bible says, yet you will all give an account for every word we speak, which is kind of frightening in itself. But then you have teachers, and, you know, we grow in our teaching, in our teaching gift and in our understanding of the word. So I was told by an older pastor, you know what I did? He said, with my first time through the Bible, those cassettes, I threw them all away, hoping no one would listen to them. I thought, why didn't I do that already? And so I went home and I did that. I thought, for certain, I don't want anyone to hear them. Enough people already heard them. And then this, you go through the second time and you wonder, should I throw those away? And then every time, you know, it just, there's nothing perfect produced out of man. It's scary. And when you're dealing with holy things and God's things, it makes it even a more serious thing that we should, who have to be teachers, should be very careful of what we say and how we say in teaching. That's kind of why I just stick to the verse-by-verse teaching, because it keeps me focused. And I'm not giving my opinions as much. But he says there, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, and it's amazing to me that God knows every word that everyone has ever spoken, that he knows it all and can hold us accountable for it. And it says in verse 2, for he gives the reason for 11 verses here. He gives the reason for why not many should be teachers. And he gives this discussion on the man's tongue and man's sinfulness. And he says, for we all stumble. And the word is that we all fall, we trip, we sin, we offend. We all do. And he says that, and in many things we do. And if anyone does not stumble, then he is a perfect man. Well, there aren't any of those. And he says, able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, control his whole body, the idea of a bridle. To control the whole body. And of course, self-control is minimal. It's a minimal ability, and it's temporal. But the spirit, the control that the spirit gives, which is spirit-controlled, is different. But he's talking about a man, and he says, well, we all stumble. And I like the honesty of the Bible, because James, you know, if he were a proud man, might write, you all stumble, and not we all stumble, right? But he's not a proud man, he's a humble man, he knows who he is, and he says, we all stumble in many things. This is one of the reasons we should not be, you know, all desire to be teachers. That not many of you become teachers. That's the first reason he gives, because we're imperfect and we do err and sin with our mouths. The next thing he says is, indeed, verse 3, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body, a large animal, and put a little bit in it, and we can turn his whole body and control him and make him go in the direction we want to go. And he said, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. It's very small in comparison to the ship, at least. And the rudder, you know, they turn the wheel, the rudder turns, and the boat goes the way you want it. You know, you have turned it. And all for that rudder. And he said there, that they are, that the, you know, wherever the pilot desires, so he can do that. Man can control a huge ships. Even if they use another method, it's a very small thing compared to the ship itself. If you ever stood in San Diego, They have the aircraft carrier, I forget which one it is there, right there in downtown. You can walk up to it and take a picture with, you know, you can, someone can take a picture of you with the aircraft carrier in the backdrop, and things gigantic, like a small city. You're standing there like a little person. And yet, you know, a little rudder, whatever design nowadays can turn that big ship. And he says there, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So don't they boast? The tongue is a boaster and a braggart, and it's so famous for it. So this whole thing, just that little thing in our mouth, we have the most trouble with. And it says, even so, the tongue is a little member, and sure, it is small among our body, but it boasts great things. And then he says, and see how great a forest of little fire kindles. And we see that almost every year in California. It was somebody smoking, somebody, you know, had a campfire and it got out of control and burned, you know, thousands of acres in this forest fire. Doesn't take much. And that's what he's saying about the tongue. It's so small. And no, I don't know anybody has ever, I've never read anything on the tongue before like this. James, to me, is unique in that he actually talks about the tongue in depth and what and the evil of it, the ability of it, both, you know, speaking mostly the evil ability of it. And boy, it is something when you read it, but he says here, even, you know, the tongue, the little member boasts great things. And it says, and the tongue, verse 6, it's a fire. It's a fire. It's like a fire that spreads. If you ever notice words, they spread around like rumors. You ever see the Veggie Tales, the rumor weed? You know that's how rumors are. They start so little in a pot, end up controlling a whole city, you know, because that's how a rumor is. It just starts in one person's mind and ends through their and it pretty soon it affects everyone who hears it. And it's horrible. It's a fire. It's like a fire in that it spreads things. It can spread life and death. It can spread truth and it can spread lies. It spreads gossip and slander and all kinds of things that are evil and horrible, and that spread willingly by so many. You know, many people are waiting to hear those things so they can take them to their group of listeners and spread them too. And now with the internet, we have typed tongue. We have the tongue has gone viral in that it is actually typed out. What we would have said, we put on paper or on a screen. And that's the thing, text message, emails, that's the thing that it is. It's horribly wicked. It's like a fire. It spreads and it burns. And many people have been burned. And it says it's a world of iniquity. It means it's a universe of sin. It's a universe of, the word iniquity means there that it is a, it's a universe of sin. It's a universe of evil, of wickedness. And think about the tongue. I mean, marriages are destroyed by the tongue, and jobs and livelihoods are destroyed by the tongue, friendships, and of course, churches. Unfortunately, churches have been destroyed, closed down because of the tongue, because men don't and women don't pay attention to what they say. They don't consider it. And what it is doing, what harm my tongue is doing to others. And so it is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. It's full of wickedness. The world, it's so big, it's iniquity. And it bears false witness. It's able to put somebody in jail, take them to the cross. It's able to do all kinds of manner, every manner of evil the tongue is. And if you think about it, it's fascinating how wicked the thing is. And it can be behind bars. You know, you have teeth. If you just close your mouth, you can, it's can't talk, but it's usually free to go. And it said there, it's a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And that's so true. It's so true because the things that we say affect our whole body. The things that we say, it affects our ears. It gets in. Jesus said that out of the heart, out of the mouth comes the heart, you know, the heart speaks. And it's true, the whole body, by what the tongue is doing, the whole body is affected and becomes in line with it. Because the tongue speaks, the whole body gets enraged. And adrenaline is pumping, and now, you know, it's time to fight because of what the tongue said. And look, there's a lot of problems with the tongue. And the Bible says in the multitude of words, there's no lack of sin. So the more you speak, the more sin you're speaking. And so, that's a great verse to be quiet. To teach us to be quiet. And we read in James that we should be swift to hear and slow to anger and slow to speak because of this, because the nature of the tongue. It's said among our members that it affects our whole body. And it says, and it's set on fire, it sets on fire the course of nature, which is interesting because it sets on fire the course of nature. And what it does, the word course means the pattern of events. It's for a period of time of undefined length, it sets a course on fire. And the idea is that somebody can say something and there goes hours of fighting. You don't even know that word just spoken has consumed hours of arguing over what was said. And maybe not one thing, could be many things. But the tongue has ability to set things in order. And the course of nature, the word nature means to, it gives birth to things. That it has a lineage, that you can trace it back to the tongue. That you can look at, you know, what is the problem here? And you can trace the thing back. Like an archaeologist back, what, the problem's the tongue. It's what we say. And this is why James says, let not many of us become teachers because of our tongues. And it frightens me when I read this portion of scripture, knowing that this is what I have to do, and I've chosen it, and God's given it to me, but It's frightening. My tongue's no different than yours. None of our tongues get saved, it seems. So what we need, how do we control it, is by the Spirit of God. But that's where the fruit of the Spirit of love controls the tongue. That's why self-control is mentioned there. If I love, I'm not going to hurt. If I love, I'm going to watch what I say, right? So he said, it sets on fire the course of nature, and it does. You can have wonderful plans, and they all change because the tongue. So something is said, It all changes. It creates its own course. And it says it is set on fire by hell. And the word hell is Gehenna, and it's the sort of a transliteration of the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, the son of the valley of Hinnom, which is in Jerusalem, which is where became a big trash heap, and they burned it. It burned constantly, and they called it Gehenna. They called it Gehenna because the fire never went out because of all the rubbish, because of all the trash. And he says here, that's where it's set on fire from, the trash heap, the good. I mean, the trash heap, Gehenna, it's set on fire from hell. And it is so much just that, because it just burns constantly. And I can talk about some good that the tongue can do, but the Bible here is not talking about that. And the reason, I think, is, and this is my opinion, is because there's more evil done with the tongue than good a lot of times. People don't realize the damage they do with their tongue. They say, well, you shouldn't take it so seriously. I was joking, or whatever, but you don't realize the damage. And James, because he's talking about the evil of the tongue, he's doing it to say again, let not many of us become teachers. And that we all have to, there has to be teachers in the church. There are in grades with the kids and the youth and the, in here, we've always had teachers. But it's something that we should let God lead us in, and not something we should desire. I think about teachers, biblical teachers. Boy. So it's set on fire from hell. And he said, for every kind of beast and bird, reptile, and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. And Solomon did this. If you read Solomon, he had apes and animals from all over the world brought into Israel. He was a wise man, and so he worked with them. He trained them and learned, spoke about them. He was a biologist, and he spoke about them. He spoke on so many subjects, and because God had given him a wise heart. And so even today, though, we have SeaWorld, where a huge whale does what some little kid tells it to do, for the most part, or a dolphin, or whatever, and they're all tamed. But he says, they're all tamed by man. But he says, but no one can tame the tongue. It's the nature of it. It just cannot be tamed. It's uncontrollable. The word says it's unruly. It's an unruly evil. And the word unruly speaks of its uncontrollable nature. It's unruly, it's out of control. And it's interesting because that is a shame that we have that we are in that place. That then is the case. But if we didn't know about it and weren't told about it, we'd do nothing about it. We should all see all this and realize, even though I'm not a teacher, I certainly don't want my tongue to be the cause of anyone being hurt or setting on fire any course of nature. And we should all be concerned that we need to walk in this power of the Holy Spirit so that he can control our tongues. Because those things are, they're trouble. And you see that today. And nowadays, Jesus said, men will be calling good evil and evil good. And the tongue's right there with that. It doesn't care about anything. And he said there, it's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Isn't that an interesting description? That it's full of deadly poison. And you think of what else is full of deadly poison, like a rattlesnake or a cottonmouth or something like that. And you think about the damage that's done by a strike from a rattlesnake, that if you don't get help pretty quickly, it's over. And here, the tongue is related to that kind of thing, that it's full of deadly poison, that it bites, that it affects with this poison. And the poison, again, think about the words that are spoken about other people in, you know, and then somebody who doesn't even know that person well can all of a sudden hate them. I can't stand that. You know what they do? Oh gosh, and they've been poisoned. And that's what gossip and slander does. It's like a poison. It affects people. In a way, just as the tongue would have it affect them, like poison. It travels through their body, and it causes great hatred. And you think about the idea, the Bible says that that in the tongue is the power of life and death. And you think about the people nowadays who have committed suicide because of what someone said on the internet, bashing and bashing, and that poison gets into that person and turns them to think that the only hope is to end my life. That's a horrible poison. And so you see that, you see that with verbal abuse and things like that, how it affects people. It's like a poison, a deadly poison. So he goes on to say this, that it is full of deadly poison. He said with it, verse 9, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. We hate men, the word curse. We hate men, we share our hatred towards men who have been made in the similitude of God. And it's like, what a travesty that is, that it is so easy to come in here and worship God and bless God and leave here and spew hatred of men. That's what, you know, even like people you don't know, people that don't agree with you today. Look at people that hate, you know, the police or hate this group or that group. And why? Why is it such a hatred? And you look at the tongue and the things they say, and they're, you know, people's hatred, and yet then we turn around and bless God and say, praise God. Isn't God good? Well, I just talked about how much I hate that brother or sister, and now God's good? It's a horrible thing if you think about this. And again, this is why James is telling us, let not many of us be teachers. He's not giving like, oh, I think I'll talk about the tongue now. He's going, no, the topic is, let not many of us become teachers. But the teaching that he gives on why we shouldn't is the tongue. It's a problem. Everybody knows it's a problem. And he said there that we bless God and we curse man. In verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And we all know it shouldn't be so. And we curse man and we hate man and we say we love God. It shouldn't be so. Years ago, I grew up very opinionated. I don't know about you, but I felt like everybody needed to hear my opinion, no matter if I knew them or not. You know, let me just give you a bit of a piece of my mind. You look like you need it. And not the brightest tool, not the brightest guy there and here. So I would share these opinions. And as I get older, I realize that opinion's wrong. The one I don't agree with myself, how adamantly I viewed that opinion 10 years ago, I totally disagree with it now. But other people had to listen to me spewing that opinion for 10 years because I thought it was so smart. And I thought, that's horrible. And then one day I'm talking to my brother and he says, were you born with this idea? Everybody needs to hear your opinion? Thank you. The whole family, I guess. And he said, man, I got it bad. We started praying for each other. And I just thought, you know, why? Am I that important, smart, or whatever that I think that? And people do. It's not just me. People do. They have various opinions that everybody needs to hear about. That's why the internet is so popular today, in some part. But opinions, but it's amazing to me the things that we can say, and of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. It ought not to be so. He says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No, of course not. If it did, it would all be bitter. How do you keep them separate? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And this is where he goes. He says, this is the problem, how unique the tongue is in its wickedness, that there's nothing like it. Everything else in earth is different. God made, you know, this and that this way. The springs this way or that way, the tree to bear this fruit or that fruit. But the tongue, it can bless God and curse man, both, which is a unique thing that the tongue can do. And it's scary because how quickly it can do it. Yeah, it can do it very quickly. And this is what James says is the problem with it. Let not many of us become teachers. And if you go back to that verse, he says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. A greater judgment, right? And all the judgment, look at all the reasons. I mean, he's going, look at this tongue we got a problem with. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Now give hope. Because right now, we think, oh boy, I got to go home with that. I got to go home with that. You know how your mom would say, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. It needed it, but it wouldn't help it. Look at Galatians chapter 5. And look at the things that he says there. He talks about the works of the flesh, and he says here about, all these works of the flesh. So many of them have speaking involved in them, and he says there, the works of the flesh. He says there. A lot of them that are with the body, but he says hatred in verse 20, and he says contentions, he says outbursts of wrath, he says dissensions, heresies, he says all these and the like. And then he goes down there to verse 22. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And it says about the Spirit of God, that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what he said there in verse, he said it in here. You can find it. But he says in there in verse 22 that this work of this fruit of the Spirit is love. And it has joy and peace and long-suffering. Those are things made up of good relationships, peace, being a peacemaker, long-suffering. You bear long with someone. You're not short-tempered with them. You don't give up on them early. Kindness. How important is kindness to friendship? And goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. How important are these gifts, these fruits to our relationships? And then he says self-control, which may be the most important, that I don't say what I want to say, right? That I don't say what I think I should say, right? Because, I got something to answer that. And so self-control. And he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the only power over the tongue or any of our flesh is the Spirit of God. And the only way that we can defeat these things and bear good fruit is to walk in the Spirit, to walk in obedience to God, to walk in humility before God, to walk in love, to walk in the Spirit, the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit, and not our own ability and power, but by Him we walk. And in that, we have hope to tame the tongue. Because there is that. You know, Jesus never said anything rash. He didn't, you know, say anything without thinking this is the thing that must be said. This is the, you know, Jesus' words, if you ever read them, even when he's given the Pharisees, he's telling them truth about themselves. I mean, you're a brood of vipers. He's not calling them names. He said, this is what your nature is. You're like vipers. You bite. You hide along the way and you bite. You're slippery. You know, all these things. But Jesus, if you ever read, I mean, I know you all have read the Gospels. The one thing you see is his mouth, even with those who approach him in dishonesty and with answers that are questions that attempt to trap him. His words are always very clear. Even if he confronts somebody like Peter, they're always very clear. They're never meant to do damage in themselves. They're always very clear because he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his water baptism. He lived as an example to us by the Holy Spirit. And we, too, can do less. We'd probably never be perfect, of course, not in this life. But we can do less and less, right? One, gossip and slander is sin. And it's something that we shouldn't be doing, period. That has nothing to do with self-control. It has to do with we get hooked on hearing and saying these little trifles. That's got to go. You know, if you read magazines that, you know, talk about the Hollywood lives and you're into that, you probably a gossip and a slander because that's all it is. It's, you know, so-and-so's getting divorced again. And, like, who cares? Let them do what they do. But I got enough in my own life to worry about. But the point is that there's hope for every believer that we would sin less with our tongue. And that's the blessing right there. And I wanted to leave you with that because that way you have hope instead of what James said, kind of, not only am I not going to teach, I'm not going to talk anymore. That's what James kind of leads us to. So, which is wise. But let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And you deal with so many things in your word that they're just not dealt with anywhere. And I think this is one of them. And I thank you that you do say it as it is, that you would not hold back and tell us it's kind of bad, but that you've given us ability by your Spirit to speak good words. Great, be gracious, be kind, be gentle. So I pray that you will, Lord, help us today. Please forgive us of all the stupid things we've said and even thought, and help us to go today with a clean slate, desiring to bear fruit unto you and to sin less and less with our tongue. For your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.